Let's talk about work and life and everything in between. Welcome to the Bench Talk Podcast. I'm your host and coach, Jackie Mitchell from Jackie Mitchell Career Consulting. Here on Bench Talk, you'll be part of the conversation with women just like us who are all about living big, living bold, taking strategic and big action, and being successful. Let's get started. Thank you guys for joining, for watching this episode of Bench Talk. I'm really excited about this episode. And it came about because over the last few months, I have been having conversations with many different women, whether they're clients or friends or just people that I come in contact with, about the struggles that we go through and how common it is to struggle in, you know, in our careers and our lives, and things spill over. And one of those, I'll call it a struggle right now. I'll find a better word for it later. But one of the things that happens is that sometimes we get caught in our brains so much that we can't think about other ways to move forward or get out. And so, very interestingly, I was on LinkedIn and saw in my network an interesting post. And I saw someone that looked very familiar. And I said, oh my goodness, let me click in to see what's happening with her. So my guest today is Chantel Ingerson, who is, I'm going to call her a badass. I call everyone a badass that I know because I surround myself with badass women and I feed off of them. And, you know, we commune, if you will. But Chantel is the managing partner of Ingerson Media Group. And that's what drew me to her post, because I knew Chantel. I will formally introduce Chantel in a second and have her talk. I knew Chantel in another life when we were program and project managers. We're working on separate projects, but we worked at the same company, and we would have comic relief times. Breaks. But she's an awesome person. And so when I saw this, I said, oh my goodness, she made that leap, you know, from project and program management into her own entrepreneurial journey. And so just that journey in and of itself and her background is amazing. And I wanted to bring her, just as I have other women on Bench Talk, to talk about their journey and to hopefully more than motivate, but to inspire someone out there who's thinking about, oh, how can I do certain things, or how can I get from that stuck position? How can I get some, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of the word. It'll come to me. I don't know why I can't think right now. I haven't even had drinks. But before we do that, let me formally introduce Chantel. Chantel, say hello to everyone.
Oh, thank you, Jackie. And I wanted to tell you that I am honored to be a part of your badassness, or at least be categorized in your eyes as a badass woman. That's worth the price of admission right there. Because I do think the world of you, always have, even when we worked at that place together. And we did have a lot of comic relief. There were times I had to stand up and walk over and find, I have to find Jackie. She's just not going to believe this.
Because you can't make that shit up.
Pretty much. Oh, can you say shit on a podcast?
We can say shit on the podcast. Okay. Okay. Everyone knows I have a potty mouth. Listen to us in AirPods or earphones, not safe for work. So we're just putting that disclaimer out there, right? Exactly. Welcome, Chantel. I'm honored. I love speaking with women like you, because it, you know, just from diverse backgrounds and just showing not just one type of woman, not just one perspective of things. There's just so many different things that people do. Not to say that everyone has to move from working full-time to an entrepreneurial role, but it's just the journey in and of itself. You know, you can take that and find bits and pieces of it and say, wow, she did that. What if I did this? You know what I'm saying? Because we have skills that we don't use. And sometimes we may identify it in other people, but we don't identify it in ourselves. So where I would love to start today is to kind of talk about your background, because your new venture, awesome venture, we're definitely going to talk about that. But I want to talk about how your career overall, the whole landscape, wasn't just a straight line. It was not just a straight line.
There's nothing straight about me. But I digress. But yes, you are absolutely...
You are hilarious. This is why I love you. You guys are in for a treat. But I really want to talk about your journey, you know, because when people think of project and program management, it's kind of stuffy, but you have had so many different areas that you dived into and tried, you know, and I want to talk about that. So let's talk about, you know, your journey.
Well, I'd like to say it was, you know, this brilliantly planned, orchestrated 30-year journey, but maybe it was just a really bad case of ADD. Could have been some of it. But sort of the Reader's Digest condensed version of my career is, I was very, very fortunate when in my youth, mm-hmm. I was an intern at a place called JPL, which is the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, which is a NASA facility. So I literally grew up in technology.
Awesome.
And I moved from being an intern into a full-time position. And this is when computers were just coming into the office. And I was young and dumb enough to go, ooh, What's that? Exactly. I can play with this and somebody can pay me to play with this. There's all kinds of things I can do with this. And so that's how I essentially launched my career in computers and computer technology.
Yeah.
And I was a Unix systems administrator for a period of time. Wow. And became a network administrator. And then after a good 10 years of doing that, I went to the dark side, like I've mentioned to you, and realized that the cookies were better in sales and marketing. Yeah. I realized I could articulate ideas, and by doing that, I could move into a sales position. And I have this sort of quirky ability to figure out and solve problems and say, hey, I call it doing a MacGyver. So I can mm-hmm. take one of these and put it all together. We put a bow around it and we can slap a sticker on it and we can sell it for even more money. And so I did that in the 90s, and I did it with some, maybe some organizations you've heard of. I worked for Dell and was a product manager there for a while when they were first getting into the server market.
Yeah.
And I was living high on the hog, you know, it was this young, you know, egotistical. And I always do joke that at that time, my ego would enter the room 15 minutes before I did.
Wow.
And so, you know, you're working for the darling of the NASDAQ, you're making these great products. And then the .com implosion came, yeah. Bam. And myself and 6,000 of my best folks that I work with were exited to the door and said, you know, and I was devastated.
Devastated, yeah.
Because at that time, I mean, that's who I was.
That was your identity, right? Oh, yeah.
It's like, there's the door. Please give me your identity. You no longer work for this big prestigious company. And I will take your laptop too. Wow. So it was like, what the heck? And there were also a lot of other things going on in my life. So it wasn't just professional, because I decided, you know, hey, so my career just imploded. This is a really good time to come out of the closet. Just wipe everything out. One time, one fell swoop.
Oh my goodness.
So,
wow.
So needless to say, and at that time, being, you know, this was Austin, Texas, which was a relatively small community. And I was married and decided that, gee, I'm going to come out of the closet. And it wasn't a great place, time and place. Yeah. So spent a couple of years trying to figure out how I was going to reinvent myself, because at that particular time, it wasn't going to be in technology because there was no technology to be had.
Right.
So I sat down and I thought, well, what is it you're good at? I'm good at explaining things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sort of a creative bent. And I'm good at building things, making things happen, whether it be a startup that I'd worked in or even within an organization. Hey, let's build this system.
Right.
So I thought about that. And then I just really understood what customers wanted, you know, sort of a customer service mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, what could I parlay that into? Landscaping. Of course, because that's the first thing that comes to mind.
So, that's where I want to go. That's where I want to highlight, right? Because it's like, how the hell, Chantel? Because I remember you telling me that. I'm like, how does that happen?
Well, I happened to, at the time, have a partner who was an aquatic biologist.
Oh, wow.
And we got into a conversation about landscaping and having ponds and stuff. And it's like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she wanted to reinvent herself too, because she was actually, she'd lived in South Florida at the time. And so we ended up in Northwest Arkansas. That's a whole other story, because it just looked like there was going to be a lot of growth because I had done some research. And we opened a landscaping business.
Wow.
I was thinking about that this morning. I remember our first client, and I remember opening up the trunk of that 1998 Pontiac Sunfire with the shovel and the hoe, and thinking, you know, 6 months prior to that, or a year prior to that, I was making six figures and working for the dandy of the NASDAQ. And now I'm digging holes to put plants in. But I often joke about my, you know, I was blessed with a middle-class work ethic, and grandma always said a job is better than no job.
No job.
So you make your job. And that's what we did. And within 3 years, we had grown that business to, again, the Pontiac Firebird, to having trucks and a tractor. And we were featured in one of the local magazines about this innovative young company. And I would refer to it. It was called AzureScape. And it was, our tagline was, we were an innovative marketing, or excuse me, an innovative landscaping company.
Wow.
And so I did that for a couple of years. But again, it wasn't necessarily my passion, in that my passion was creating it. So once it was up,
created, got
done,
it
was just like, again, this goes back to my ADD.
Now what? It's like, okay, it's here. Now what?
Exactly.
What's the next thing?
So, and there was also going back to that, we were living in, at that point, I was in Northwest Arkansas, and I don't do cold very well.
Mm-hmm.
I was raised in Hawaii and lived a long time in Southern California. And then I found myself in Arkansas, and you know, it snows there.
Yeah.
And they have winters. And so I would come down to South Florida during the winter, because you really can't do anything in January when you're in the landscaping pond business.
Right.
So I was having one of my many midlife crises when I was down here, and decided, you know, I need to come to South Florida. So I packed up my little Miata and I jumped in and I got in my car and I came buzzing down to South Florida. And I had, it's again, it was that, what can I do?
Yeah.
Well, I know I can talk on the phone. I knew about technology. So I literally got a beater job in a call center, hawking computers. you know, making maybe $12 an hour or something mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. Till I figured out what it was I was going to do. And South Florida at that time wasn't real big on technology.
And right.
2000 and maybe 2006, 2007. So there yeah. weren't a lot of software companies. And the ones that were here were just hard to get into. I mean, yeah. Citrix was here, and Ultimate was, I think they were here at that time, but they weren't really weren't, nobody knew about
them. No one knew them at that time, right? Yeah. Right. And it was hard to get to.
This
no
was,
longer.
This was way back in 2006, before we actually
had... We didn't have 595. For those who don't know, but anyway, we digress.
As we often do. So, you know, I did want to get back into software and into product management, but it was difficult to get a job. But for whatever reason, I did find another job here in South Florida. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. But again, this wasn't a hub of technology like it where I was used to, which was Austin, Texas. And that's how I gravitated into project work.
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay? Well, basically, it's not as glamorous as product work, but right. it pays bills, and mm-hmm. so that's when I started learning my PMP and starting to work on project jobs, and it suited my personality because I always joke that I have commitment issues.
I used to joke about that when. A project manager. I was like, yeah, I have commitment. I'm a man. I have commitment. I said, men are the only ones who fear commitment. I fear commitment. So I will jump from project to project, company to company. Yeah. I used to joke that way too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But you know, and then, but in our defense, you know, and I think we've talked about the dog years of consulting and how you become so good at getting in there, figuring things out, and integrating yourself into the organization. Uh-huh. And uh-huh. I don't think people realize that you have, again, one of the many things that you have in your bag, tricks of things that you can do.
Right. You know, I want to ask you really quickly, do you think that courage played a part in what you've done over the years, like, you know, from Dell to landscaping to South Florida, or to Austin to South Florida? Do you feel that it was, one, were you fearful in making those decisions, or did you just make it and let's go, let's do it? Like, what was that process for you?
You know, I'd like to say, oh, I had so much courage. I sort of think of myself as sort of like the cowardly lion at yeah. times. You know, I admire courage. I look at somebody and I say, wow, that is courageous.
Yeah.
And there's things I do that I look back and I was like, oh, girlfriend, that was kind of courageous. But I wasn't like, dum, dum, bum.
Not at the time. No, it's right.
I'm a blithering, sniveling idiot. But part of it was, oh my God, I cannot not do something. It
yes.
Like I have
Let's highlight that, because there are people right now who they sit in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have been that person. I have sat in it. And trust me, there has been over the years a lot of fear. And there's still a lot of fear.
There is still.
I mean, it's always easy to look at somebody and say, wow, they're really doing it. I mean, I would look at you and the stuff you'd post on LinkedIn and go, wow, she's really doing it.
And meanwhile, I'm like, oh my gosh. Oh my goodness.
And then I'm going like, well, if Jackie's doing it, so I should do it too. And we should have just called the Snivelers Club or something like that, where we all meet up and, oh my God, I'm so terrified. And it is terrifying.
Yes.
And then, but you look back and you think to yourself, oh my God, how did I do it? But I did it. And part of it is just, you know, it's an old, I think cliche that I believe it was, you know, Woody Allen said, which was 80% of life is just showing up.
Yeah.
And so just show up. And even if you've got the fear, you know, I think, again, the fear is not the not knowing. Yeah. You know, for me, that is. It's the not knowing what it's going to be. I mean, you can reject me. That's fine. But just the not knowing whether I'm being rejected or not being rejected is
right.
limbo, which is very, 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 that's very hard for me. Maybe other people as well. I was going to say, it's because you're human.
Just being human, just not knowing. It's like, but I think for me, inaction drives me crazy. You know what I mean? I've had times in my life where I'll sit in it, but then I realized as I got a little bit older, a little bit more mature, I had to get to a point where I said, all right, I'm going to give myself this time. And if I go past that, it may not be great for me. You know what I'm saying? Right. And I don't want to go into a place where it's helplessness or hopelessness.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I have to move. And whatever it takes for me to move and take that first step, even if it's making a call, you know, doing a little bit of research, just something for me to feel like, okay, I've done something to help move away from where I don't want to be. You know, just some action. It doesn't have to be this big leap, you know, but just something. And then I'm saying to myself, okay, I did that. I can do the next thing. And then the next thing. Do you find that for yourself, or it's
absolutely. It's a little bit different for me. I think it's something as you get older, you start knowing yourself and you start trusting yourself. And, yes. and for me, it's trusting the process. So for me, it looks something like, you know, inaction or procrastination. Like, I'm not looking at this. I know it exists. I'm not looking at nothing to see here. Right. But I'm going through all of that, but somewhere in the deep recesses of my mind, I'm processing it.
Okay.
And when it comes to when it's time to deal with whatever it is, whether it's the leap of faith or the figuring out the presentation or the creating the what project, everything always just kind of works.
It works out.
Yeah. And then I think to myself, well, you know, why did you spend all of that time marinating in that ickiness? And it was like, I have just come to the understanding that that's my subconscious is in there going, dee, 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 doing stuff. And I'm sitting right. there touching my phone going, my blanket. And it works. And it's only over, I would say, in the last 10 years that I've really understood that that's part of the process and that's what it is, and that I need to learn to relax into the process.
And it's funny you say that. My viewers range in age, and not to make it an age thing, but I find that as I've gotten older in my late 40s, I'm like, why the hell didn't I know this back then? You know, how come? But I realized it's that journey that I had to go through, that maturation, is that the word? Maturing into who I am now. And honestly, I can't wait to see what the next 10 years, the next 5 years brings. Who will I be then? Mm-hmm. You know, and looking at Jackie in her 30s, it was, you know, the precursor to where I am right now. I stayed in certain mindsets a little too long, not understanding myself as much as I understand myself now. And it's like, okay, I'm much more self-aware.
Not necessarily age thing. Is it maybe it's an experience thing?
It's an experience thing. I think it's an experience thing because I think you have to go through certain things, you know, finding yourself, understanding yourself, what you can, and not necessarily what you can and can't do, what you'll tolerate, how long does the pain have to be there before you?
Right. And that's an important point in terms of the reinvention, of certainly for me, is that for the first reinvention, when I moved from, you know, technology into creating this landscaping business, it was a have to.
Got it.
I could have probably continued looking, but I was down to my last resource and I had to make it happen. It was sink or swim.
Yeah.
With this incarnation, with what I'm doing now.
Let's talk about that because I'm excited as hell.
This was more about, you know, knowing yourself and coming to terms with the, okay, I am done with going down that road, the road that we have talked about in terms of the kinds of jobs that there are, that what it takes to be a project manager, yeah, and in the corporate world. And then the, do I really want to spend the rest of my life to my retirement and think to myself, well, maybe I had one more entrepreneurial grain of sand in my body that I didn't chase after. And some of that, those were long discussions I had with my wife about, well, do you want to not, can you, if you died tomorrow, would you be happy? Right. And it's not so much what, no, I wouldn't be happy if I died tomorrow. Would I be at peace? No, I wouldn't be at peace. I'd be dead.
I wouldn't even know.
I wouldn't know. But when that last 30 seconds where you're going through the inventory of did you do what you everything you wanted to do, then the question is, would you be satisfied?
Right.
And the book is still being written. We're relatively new in Ingarzon Media. It's going very well, but I'm able to be in a place where I'm much more me, much more who I am, much more authentic in every way. I mean, I had to live in a corporate environment as pretending to be straight. I did that for a long time, and that there was always something sort of, wasn't people. People can tell when you're not being authentic.
Yes.
And absolutely. So, and they can't really necessarily put their finger on something.
Yeah. It's like something.
Something's not. And then, I chose to be out and, depending upon where I was and what organization I was in, all of those experiences ranged.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, now I'm responsible. Hmm. I am responsible for the revenue. I am responsible for making myself happy. I'm responsible for getting those projects. It's up to me.
Let's talk about your new venture a little bit more, because I just think it's amazing that, the analytical side of you is still there, but the creative has come out so much. And that's when I saw that post. And for those who don't know, you posted a video and I'm watching this video. I'm like, holy hell, did she do this? Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so creative. Uh-huh. I just find that so brilliant that you combined all of you into this project, not just that project, but the project of having this new venture, So talk about your new company.
So my new company is Ingarzon Media Group. It is the name Ingarzon comes from a combination of the last names of the managing partners and creative individuals. It's Ingerson, which is my group, and Martha Garzon, who is the creative director as well. Mm-hmm. And we both lend a hand in the creativity. Mm-hmm. I think when it comes down to it, Martha is very much a technician when it comes to the video, whereas I'm more of a storyteller, and that some of that comes from the ability to, you've known me long enough to tell a tale.
Tell stories.
Once upon a time.
Picture.
Exactly. So I like to say that we lead with video because at the end of the day, what we really want to do is grab our cameras and go out there and make videos. But we are a full service marketing firm. And I bring my experience from corporate America down to more the entrepreneurial level.
Right.
So we've worked with large companies. We've worked with, single owners.
Yeah.
To create and craft a story that they can use to tell who it is that they are to the world. And with video as popular as it is now, and it's going up exponentially.
I want to go back a little bit. Kind of glided over that in this conversation.
This conversation.
How did you get there? How did you get here? How did you get here?
I get here. It was a couple of things. So when people would ask me what it was I did for a living, I would basically say I make middle-aged white men rich.
Love it. Do you guys see why I love her? No chaser.
Exactly. And at one point when I would say that, Martha looked at me and she goes, that sounds awfully bitter. It's like, well, it is what I do. So I think that's when the conversation started about let's maybe do something on our own. Yeah. Martha was a tennis coach. She actually played professional tennis. Mm-hmm. And she came home one day and said, I can't do this the rest of my life. I'm going to wear out. And I said, well, go back to school.
Yeah.
So she went back to school, discovered graphic design and photography, which parlayed into a love of videography. Mm-hmm. I, having the technical background, was able to master fairly quickly the Adobe suite of products for making, and we just kind of fell in love with this idea of, don't mind my dog.
It's all part of it. It's all part of it.
Exactly. You can work with your dog. Just the ability to, where was I? I just went off.
We can edit this out too. So
maybe you would. I'm sorry. I hate to make you edit, having to edit so much.
We're going to have the raw video on YouTube, but for the bench talk, well.
Or you can do the bloopers like we do sometimes. I don't know if you saw our last bloopers we did with one of our clients who really was a good sport about it.
Right. But, again, no, you were saying how Martha.
No, she was a tennis instructor, it said, and then she went back to school. And she's always been an entrepreneur. She'd had a couple of companies, and you know, she knew my business acumen. And right. She, from the very, very beginning, again, it was always about, you know, Chantel, come play with me. I've got these nice toys. But I also knew, while she was doing this, that she needed to hone her craft. So I continued working in the project world, taking various assignments. At one point, I even took an assignment up in Jacksonville, and I was away from home because I knew it was all part of building the company.
Right.
And so, because I knew that when it came time to actually have the company, I could fairly well jump in terms of understanding the technology and the marketing. But at the end of the day, we really had to practice our craft with film and video.
Right.
Interestingly enough, and this goes into the whole idea about you can reinvent yourself, is that we came across some videos literally on the internet on how to do film. It was that basically we bought a class. You know, we didn't go to film school per se. Got it. Mm-hmm. But we discovered this individual and started following him and his tutorials. And he as he was growing, we sort of would watch him and grow with him.
Right.
And again, here was somebody who was reinventing themselves and creating this. He wasn't going into corporate America, or he wasn't even doing the Hollywood thing. It was really, mm-hmm. you know, are you tired of doing what it is you're doing? Do you want to learn how to make films to sell? And we followed him.
Right.
And that's wow. where we learned the majority of our, you know, a technical ability. But right. I do think at the end of the day, we are both creatives.
Yeah.
So I won't necessarily admit it. I mean, you didn't know when you met me because I was like in my little suit. And
I think we all were with our suit and shoulder pads.
And our 1990s shoulder pads.
And then when we all come out as creatives.
I've come out. Exactly. Oh my God. Did you hear?
You know, people are like, what? You can do that? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I have a manuscript literally sitting in mm-hmm. the corner over there.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny, as as dreary and as dreary as project management can be sometimes,
mm-hmm.
I would really always try to find the creative outlet.
Yes.
Somehow. And it was more in my problem solving than anything. Yeah. For example, like if there was something that some information that we couldn't figure out or do, I would, you know, I remember one project that I basically dug into learning SharePoint, figured it out, used it, and then boom. So now, you know, instead of just sitting there going, well, what do we
what
do?
Is, yeah. How
does it happen? You make it happen. You MacGyver it.
Right. So. That's an awesome skill to have regardless.
Yes, exactly. So.
It helps you get out of so many situations, yes. Or just being a problem solver, you know, just being a problem solver and honing in on those skills. But the videos that you guys have posted, the little sneak peeks and bits, mm-hmm. have been amazing. Very creative. I do have to say, I showed my son the one with the aviator. He's into planes, and he was really? Telling me about, oh my goodness, he's 12 and he wants to be a pilot. Actually,
excellent.
He wants to fly jets, whatever, whoever in the military, whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he literally was telling me the type of plane it was. And so I showed him, I said, let me show him this video. And he was looking at the controls. He was like, oh, that's cool. Do you know them? I'm like, so, I know the person who shot the video.
So talk about something, taking something out of your comfort zone. If you had told me that at 50 years old, I would be sitting in the back of this little itty bitty tiny airplane, taking film footage, and then be out in the middle of bum fuck Florida I'm hoping you're going to edit that out. In the middle of nowhere. I mean, when we got out to that airport and we needed a runway where we could film, and, you know, people that run airports kind of frown when you're running around on the tarmac taking.
Yeah.
So we end up in the middle of Florida at this desolate airport, but this thing was huge. And I kind of look at Martha and it's like, is this the drug trafficking human trafficking airport, because this is a really nice airport, but there's nobody here.
Oh my goodness.
It was great. So at one point we're in the middle of the tarmac and I have to film, and, you know, the woman is fearless. I'll give her that. She opens the door and she's like, well, just go ahead and jump out. And it's like, the propeller's still going. Can you at least turn it off? You know, I think she slowed down to about 10 miles an hour. Tuck and roll. Poof.
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, and again, it's one of those things. You go back to at the end of your life, are you going to be okay with what it is that you do? And it's going to make a great cocktail story for when we have the group of women to do drinks with Jackie and Chantel.
Let me write that down. Drinks with Jackie.
Chantel, tell the story about how you tuck and rolled on the tarmac in the middle of Florida, where the drug traffickers were coming in. It'll probably be a little bit more embellished by that time.
Oh my goodness.
But the idea is that you have to look back on your life. And again, I'm way out of my comfort zone, because the thing you also don't know about me is I hate flying.
You put yourself in there for your craft, yes. for your client, for yes, your creativity. Absolutely. And mm-hmm. honestly, like, this whole conversation is about, just like you said, reinventing yourself and moving out of your comfort zone, because there's opportunities out there, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we're just looking in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
You know,
and you were talking about the process and the fear, and yeah, I mean, part of it is just like, you know, like the morning of that shoot, I'm like, oh God, I've got to go to this little place. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. And, you know, but Martha, bless her heart, she's like, oh, we're going to fly in a plane. I'm like, oh God, no.
Martha is your hype woman. I have to meet Martha.
She's absolutely. I don't know how she tolerates me, but she does. She's like, she's all excited. And I'm thinking, I can't, don't show your fear. Don't show your fear. Don't show your fear. And I'm in the back going, but part of it is you just have to throw it up to the universe and say, you know, and this, that's, you know, I did, this isn't a product placement or anything, but you know, the universe knows it's in, I'm on my cup.
Yeah.
As that you just have to throw it up there and say, I just got to do it and don't think about it.
And just don't think about it.
Try and just like go through the fear, because there's always fear. There will always be
fear. There will always be fear. And sometimes in the women that I talk to, they're like, how do I, you know, become fearless? It's not even about becoming fearless. No, just, that never happens.
I just say fear, being fearful is not as painful as regret.
Yes. Oh, I love that.
So.
I love that. Repeat that for the people in the back.
Being fearful is not as painful as regret. So you can actually put that on a mug.
Let's put that on
a placement.
But it's true. It's true. Uh-huh. It is. It honestly is true, because you just, it's, it kind of goes back to what we were saying, not knowing,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fear of not knowing. Like you, I can't, I gotta at least try. I have to at least try. And the thing, if someone said this, I don't remember who said this, a famous person or whoever, or something that's going around about, oh my goodness, I just lost it.
But it was fucking brilliant.
It was fucking brilliant. I don't remember.
But just tell the audience, what I would have said was fucking brilliant. Not as brilliant as the statement that Chantel just made, but fucking brilliant nonetheless.
Oh my God. I just had a freaking brain freeze. I don't remember where I was going with that. Oh my gosh, we're having too much fun. Could you imagine with drinks? The whole time we'll be laughing. So everyone who's listening, I mean, I like to have fun. Chantel likes to have fun. A lot of the women that I surround myself, we laugh. So we're going to do something by the end of the year that's going to be fun with drinks.
Fun with drinks. With Jackie and drinks.
Jackie with drinks. And hopefully Jackie can remember her shit. I don't remember what I was going to say. It was something about fear. If it comes to me, I'll put it in the show notes. I don't remember. Oh my goodness. So embarrassing. But we sit with this fear, and it's, you know, just the fear of the unknown. And if you just take that step, if you just do that thing and not really think about it, because we will ruminate on things so hard to the point where we're frozen and paralyzed.
Yeah, and absolutely. And, but also know that don't beat yourself up when that happens, because that's part of the process.
It's part of the process.
Absolutely. And, you know, as I continued with this company and we're growing and we're the little media company that could, you know, there are times I wake up, it's like, oh my God, can I really do this? Can I really do this? Yeah. And then it's like, well, you're going to be miserable if you don't. And it's like, well, maybe the fact that I thought I could do this, this is all a fantasy and yada, yada, yada. But then the phone rings and we get a client and, oh my God, we're jumping in an airplane or jumping off of the back of a boat, and, or, you know, just sitting in an office filming somebody, and it happens, and life happens, and you move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh my goodness, Chantel, this was amazing. We have to do this again. I love your story. I mean, because you're a real person, you know what I mean? It's not where it's like these things are unattainable or, yes, I still ask, how did you do that? but you did it, you know what I mean? And you learned from it. And
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, and you're still doing it. It's not over. We're never, as someone says, you never get it done. You never get it done. There's always going to be that next thing and that next thing. I can't wait to see where you are in the next year, because I just see so many great things for you, because you have the drive, you have the passion, you have the creativity, and Martha as well. By looking at those videos. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, people will be,
and she and I have a good synergy in our storytelling, and she'll joke about the fact that she'll work hours and hours on editing, and I come down to the office and I'll look at it and I'll go, take this clip, move it over here, take that clip, move it over there, do this, do that, add this, do, 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 and then walk out. And she gets so mad because it's like, you made it better.
You made it better. And I've been here for hours. You came in, but that, we're good. That's funny. That's funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But any closing remarks, you know, just talking to that one, I think you honestly just said it, but just anything else that you can think of to just help give some inspiration.
Yeah. So it was actually something that just recently happened to me. A friend of mine I've known for 40 years, we were talking on the phone, and she has sort of become a gig worker.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she does a variety of different things, everything from reading tarot to dog grooming to all of this stuff. And she's very charismatic and she's funny. And we've been friends for years, and we lose touch. We reconnect. And over the pandemic, we reconnected. And she, for many years, worked in corporate America. She'd worked at JPL when I did. And she worked at the Huntington Library and a couple of other places. And she did PM work. And she said to me, and this is, you know, she said, I wish I had known 20 years ago that I could do this.
Wow.
She had had a house in Pasadena that she ended up having to sell very quickly just because of financial issues. She got divorced and she found herself financially strapped. And she said, I wish I had known, I'd have been brave enough to do what I'm doing, because, oh my God, I could have groomed dogs in that house. I could have done boarding. I could have done this, and I could have done, if I had known, if I had thought outside my box.
Yeah.
About, I have this resource, this house that I could use. I mean, she's doing fine now. She's loving the gig life, but it was really interesting. And I thought about our discussion and how you can, if you just kind of look around and say, what are the pieces and parts that I have, whether it be, you know, a talent I have for solving problems, whether I'm good working with customers, or whether I have a resource, whether I have a car to drive things from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Looking at things from the sort of the bigger picture, and how can I make this work? Because it can work.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that.
Thank you.
I love that. I love that. That is the perfect place to end.
Because we have to end, Chantel. We're not going to sit here listening to you pontificate.
We can do this for hours. That is the perfect.
And we will find it much more entertaining than anyone else will.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. No, that is great inspiration. That is great inspiration. And so I thank you so much for blessing us with your presence today. You may not think it, but you are a badass woman. You have reinvented yourself over and over again. Mm-hmm. You are authentic. You are real. No chaser. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that. Why do I love that? Because the women I have grown up with in my family are just like that. So it's family to me. It's comfortable and, you know, it's something familiar to me, right? And so you typically gravitate towards what's familiar. And so your personality fits right in. You'd love my mom.
I remember the stories you'd tell me about your mom, and it was like, let's go talk to Jackie and see what her mom is up to. Because she would tell these stories. And you know, as I'm very, very sincere when I said, I've always enjoyed working with you. I've always admired you. I thought you were really, hell, you lasted a hell of a lot longer at that place than I did. So
I lasted a lot longer than a lot of people, actually.
I was going to say, that speaks to your tenacity. And I thought I had tenacity. Or a larger mortgage.
Mortgage and balls. You know, being just like, okay.
Yeah.
Get it together, people. Mm-hmm. No, but thank you so much, Chantel. I definitely want to have you on again and talk with you again with the group. group and with drinks and with doggy.
And doggies and people walking in and out of the office. It's all
fine. Good. We're all family here. It's mm-hmm. totally good. But thank you so much. And I really hope that our listeners really got something, aside from the laughing and having fun, you know, got some really good inspiration out of this, because I do know that sometimes it does get hard, you know, and we feel that we're in the position and no one gets it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. we're alone. Totally not the case.
Well, you know? We are in the middle of the night when we're staring at the ceiling, wondering.
Right.
we are definitely alone. Except for maybe a dog or two. But at the light of day, when you start looking at the problem and you start talking to people,
yes,
realizing and watching and listening to podcasts that, hey, this isn't anything new. A lot of people have gone through this, and a lot of people have come out the other side better for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to end there. Thank you so much, Chantel, for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm going to put some contact information for Chantel and her company in the show notes. So again, thank you, everybody. Awesome. Thank you so much, Chantel.
Thank you. Take
care. If this episode resonated with you and you'd like to learn how to confidently and boldly show up in your career while taking the necessary steps to level up, download my free training with the link below. Plus, I'm sharing the exact workbook that my clients use to identify their own personal career values to help drive their decisions and the direction of their careers. You'll get that with the free training, so sign up today. See you on the inside.